We are starting our 2025 Top 5 series today. This is what you submitted, and this is what we're going to preach on. And so I would like for you to turn to 1 Timothy, 6th chapter, 3rd through the 5th verses. If you don't know where that is in your Bible, which I strongly, again, suggest you have your Bible open because we're going to be going back and forth. It's in the New Testament. Go to the Table of Contents, New Testament section, and then move to, you'll see 1 Timothy kind of like two-thirds of the way down. So once you see 1 Timothy, go to that page number, go to the chapter 6, and come to verse 3 through 5. In the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and read it out of the Christian Standard Bible version. That's all right. Notes don't always work, but that, thank God I don't need the notes. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 3rd through 5th verses, read as follows. It says, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, verse 4, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. And for a brief moment, we're going to be talking about the first topic, which is false teachers and false teaching. You may be seated. This is what you asked for. This is what we're going to talk about. False teachers and false teaching. What you submitted as far as sermon topics, false prophets, prosperity preachers. If a preacher or teacher mispronounces a word or misspells or misunderstands a Bible verse, is he a false prophet? Again, these are questions y'all asked. Against prosperity preaching. Why? Why be against it? And so here's what I want to do. I want you to, again, meet me in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And I want to read with you the 3rd through the 10th verses. Okay, because we're going to be, you know, sometimes, you know, the Bible just preaches itself. And it's easier if you just read it sometimes. But we're going to talk about this. 1 Timothy 6th chapter, 3rd through the 10th verses, they read as follows. It says, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. Starting to answer one of these questions already. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Again, the Bible preaches itself. But let's talk about this. False doctrine. What is that? False doctrine, false teaching, is anything that keeps us away from the main thing. Look, can we make that simple?
All right.
False doctrine, false teaching, is anything that keeps us away from the main thing. The Bible talks about the main thing. And false doctrine is anything that keeps you away from it. Pretty simple, right? Let's get a little more complicated. There are visible side effects from false teaching. If you read, again, 1 Timothy 6th chapter, the end of verse 4, it says, from these, from this false teaching, from going against the Bible, from distracting from the Bible, from these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement. I'm on verse 5 now. Among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. When you listen to enough false teaching, this is what happens. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When you listen to enough false teaching, you become more envious. You become more of a fighter. You become more of a gossiper. You become more of a person with evil suspicions. You become more unlike Christ. That is the effect of false teaching. Why do people hate Christians today? It's because of the effects of false teaching. Because we have so many of us who come to church and hear the things that we hear, and so many people like me who come and just tell you what we want to hear and what we want to say because that's what's on my mind. And then you go out mad, ticked off, contentious, gossiping, hating on people. That's why people ain't coming to church. Because of what is taught. If you look in the Bible, I know we want to say this world is going to hell and everything, right? And that's part of it too. We always talk about the world is going to hell, but we don't want to talk about going out and saving them from hell. We don't talk about that. When you look in the Bible, whenever the nation of Israel had issues, whenever they had cult prostitutes and they were sacrificing little kids in the fire and all of that, every single time the temple, where the center of religious practice was supposed to be, the temple was messed up. The priests were messed up. The reason we have all these problems in the United States of America today is because Christians are messed up. But Trump, but Biden and Obama, but it's because Christians are messed up. But China, but Mexico, it's because Christians are messed up. Well, it's that all these rappers and all this girls half naked on TV. It's because the Christians are messed up. And we are messed up because people like me and people like Reverend Burks and people like your favorite Sunday school teacher are teaching false doctrine. That's it. I should just end the sermon. because people can see the effects of what we learn. So the question is, are you out there gossiping and hating? And it gets quiet now, I know. Are you out there yelling at people, all this? Are you doing that? You setting up people, being manipulative? Are you doing that? Okay. If it were my fault, it would be all of St. John doing that. Hello? But one thing about false teaching is some of us, we like to filter out what we want to hear. So if James talks about not fornicating, or if James talks about not cussing people out, James talks about go to prayer, I don't like to hear that. Let me go hear from somebody else who says that cussing people out is okay. Because that's just how you feel. Because James don't talk about that. Yeah, he do. He just don't talk about it the way that you like. Because I talk about it the way it comes from here. There's visible side effects from false teaching. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about, again, verse 5. Verse 4. It talks about conceited understands nothing but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. Educated people like to, you know the problem with education? And I can say this because I am educated. You know what the problem is with education? You think you're so smart. I am smart enough to realize people who think that they're smart. I am. And there are so many people that want to talk to you about a word. There are entire religions and sections of religions that are based on one word. One word. That they didn't even translate properly out of the Greek or Hebrew. They're based on that. And because of words, they want to harp and they want to make a big old point and cause a whole lot of problems because of words. Off of one verse or two verses. Here's the thing. Whenever you have false teachers, they almost never, listen to me, Bible readers, false teachers almost never preach the context. They almost always preach a couple of words. Let me say that one more time. False teachers, this is what y'all wanted me to talk about. False teachers, those that we think are so educated because they got PhDs and all this. False teachers, they sound smart. What they say kind of makes sense. But they intentionally focus on a very small part of the verse or the verse instead of reading the entire context. Let me give you an example of false teaching. We shouldn't be judging nobody. Doesn't the Bible say, Matthew 7:1, look, I even got the address. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not. Lest you be judged. That's the problem with y'all church folk. Y'all always judging people. Y'all always coming down on people. Y'all need to let people live. Da-da-da-da-da. And some of us will be like, amen, preacher. Always judging folk. Let me go. Let me live my life. Let me be. I'll be with whoever and whenever I want to be. Let me go. Like, everybody trying to judge me. The preacher, the Bible says, judge not. Why are you judging me? But if you keep reading, it talks about the right way to judge. You know, take the plank out of, you know, the speck out of your own eye, or the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to take the speck out of theirs. What's implied is that you have to clean up your own life so that you can actually help people and take the speck out of their own eye. By the way, that refers to surgery. Surgery hurts. Surgery cuts. So sometimes you're going to have to say some things to people that are going to hurt. It's going to cut, but you're trying to heal them. And they're going to come off as judging, but you're not judging with evil motives. They don't preach about that part. Because we're so educated. And the Greek word for judgment. See, y'all got to read y'all Bibles, huh? Y'all got to read y'all Bibles. The Greek. Educated people like to brag about being educated. But those of us that actually have real education, you know that the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Amen. And then you stop being so cocky and so arrogant about what you know. And you stop putting people down because they know less than you. And you start realizing that God has placed you here to help others grow in Christ. But we love being so smart and loving to tell people off and hiding all that, childhood trauma of not being good enough. Okay, well, sorry, wrong sermon. Keep going. Prosperity teaching is about the gift, not the giver. What's wrong with it? Let me tell you what's wrong with it. If DeAndre Stevens, Deacon DeAndre Stevens, gave me $1,000, amen. Amen, Deacon Stevens, amen. Amen. It don't have to be hypothetical. Amen. If he gave me $1,000 and I just took that money and then I just go and spend it on what I want, I never say thank you. I never ask him why he gave me that money. I never try to, be better for him and all that. Then I've just focused on the gift. Not the giver. A lot of prosperity preaching is about God giving to you health and wealth. Giving a husband, a wife, giving job opportunities, giving. And prosperity teaching is only about giving. Nothing about the giver. It's not. The focus is giving. We got to praise him because what? When praises go up, see, that's why we got to praise so that we can get. Are y'all hearing this? And how many churches have we said this in? And believe it in? Hello? God's got a blessing. With my name on it. What do we do with it? Oh, the song don't cover that. Hello? It's about the gift, not the giver. And so when it talks about loving money, you realize, we always talk about rich people, right? Lovers of money, y'all people love money. You don't need to be rich to love money. You can be broke and love money. Money on your mind, right? That's all you thinking about. That's all you want. That's all life is about, is getting this money. Getting that check. How many words we got for money? Cash, paper. How many words we got for money? You don't need to be rich to love money and to be chasing after it. But what the Bible does say is that in verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If I just wanted to make money from y'all, it would be easy. Especially from 2025 through 2028. And you know why? All I would need to do is talk about Trump. That's it. Every single week. That's all I'd have to do. Now, to the Democrat folks, I'd be talking about how crazy Trump is and how he's destroying our country and all this stuff, right? To our Republican folks, I'd be talking about how Trump is leading us into a new direction and we've got to forgive him and that, you know, don't let these libtards and these snowflakes take you away from what God is doing in the White House. It'd be easy. Because then I could speak to your emotions, because people really like it when you speak to emotions, right? So if I talk about Trump and I talk about how awful he is or how great he is, some of us are like, yeah, I like it. And so when it comes time to giving, it's like, yeah, I need to support this preacher. Because he talk about Trump the way I like it. Or lately, Newsom. Yeah, the way he talk about Newsom, yeah. I don't have to be rich to do all of this. Because if I'm doing this just so that y'all can stay here and pay, hello? It would be easy, just talk about what you like. You don't need to be rich to love money. See, prosperity preaching brings problems, no matter how rich you are. You know, name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, you know, those type of things. It brings problems. Well, I wouldn't have problems if I was rich. Rich people have problems. Have y'all looked online and looked in the media? Rich people have problems. Maybe not the same problems, but they got problems. Prosperity preaching brings problems because when you start focusing on the gift and not the giver, you start focusing on what God can give you. The problem is there's going to be seasons in your life where you don't have what God gives you, and you have been praising him so that the blessings come down. You have been showing up and giving to church so that God can give you the increase. You have been doing these things, and it doesn't seem like God is returning the financial favor to you. And then it doesn't really help at all when you have death in the family. It doesn't really help at all when you're dealing with tragedy. It doesn't help at all. And so you think that God is all about blessing, and then when you don't get blessed, you must think God must not like you. And how did all this happen? False teaching. Y'all see where I'm at, coming from on this? All right, move on. Verses 11 through 16, Timothy says, but you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pilate. I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring about this, in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. That sounds like the main picture. It sounds like keeping God at the center, keeping what Christ has done at the center. That is the main picture. That is what we preach. Keep the main thing the main thing. And for your information, that is Jesus. For your information, the main thing is not money. The main thing is not politics. The main thing is not health and wealth. The main thing is Jesus Christ coming, being born of the Virgin, living through 33 years and dying for our sins on that cross, being buried, and on the third day, rising up from the grave. And then ascending, and one day he will come to get his church. Keep those things the main thing. And because of Jesus Christ, because of his death, burial, resurrection, we can trust him. We can believe him. And so when the Spirit is in us and he's trying to conform us into the image of Christ, it matters because he's the main thing. So we are focused on being conformed into the image of Christ. We're focused on his mission, on reaching others for Christ, because Jesus don't just want you. He loves you. He would have died on that cross just for you if you're the only one to believe. But Jesus died for a whole lot of other folks. And he wants to use you to go reach them. You're good. You're blessed. You'll be taken care of. It's already done. Go get some other people. That's another problem with prosperity preaching. It makes you not content with what you have. Prosperity preaching wants to tell you that you know God's got something coming for you. But the gospel says God has already done things for you. And look where you are right now. And it doesn't mean that you can't hope, it doesn't mean you can't improve, but God has taken care of you. So keep the main thing, the main thing. Don't be consumed with what is around you. The Bible talks about a lot about what Christ has already done. But it also spends, I would say, an inordinate amount of time, a lot of time, talking about where we are going. You notice that? Again, read the Bible for yourself. The Bible talks a lot about what Christ has already done in the past for us. And the Bible talks a whole lot about keeping our eyes, what, fixed on Jesus, author and perfecter of our faith. The Bible talks a whole lot about pressing toward the mark of the high calling. The Bible talks about hope. The Bible talks about having faith. The Bible talks a lot about that. Why? Because when you really, truly read the gospel, you understand that Jesus Christ has secured, he's wiped away our past, he's secured our future, and because of the future, because we know we are secure in Christ, it will change how we live today. What false teachers do is they get you to focus on just today. You notice that? False teachers know when they're talking to broke people. So they talk about being broke, and they talk about not being broke. Because that's what's on your mind right now. That's what's, you know, it's the first of the month. It happened. You got rent. You got bills. You got to get this money. You got to praise God so you can get, you got to do this right now, right now. This is what you got to do. Come on, right here, right now. This is, yo, oh, you sick? You got to, this is what you got to do right now. You got to do this right now. Oh, you having relationship issues? Oh, you having job issues? Oh, you having, any other type of issue, this is what you got to do right now. Let's focus on right now, right now. And that's why it seems so awkward when they bring Jesus into it, because how does Jesus deal with right now? They don't know. That's that. If you really think about it, most Christians don't really understand how Jesus applies to their everyday life. How did this thing that happened 2,000 years ago, and how is this thing that's going to happen when I die, affect me now? That's what the gospel is about. But false preachers want to just kind of X that out and take care of you right now. Why? Because your emotions are right now. And if they can appeal to your emotions right now, then they can get your money right now. That's how it works. And so this is why I say, you know, there's the phrase of upwards and onwards. Keep your eyes up and keep your eyes forward. Because God is taking you. He's already saved you. That's done. He's already taken care of you if you're a Christian. He's already done that. He's already blessing you right now. And he wants to take you to another level because there are things he wants you to do. So you keep your eyes fixed on him. And you keep your eyes fixed on eternity, because right now, all this craziness with politics, all this craziness with the job market, all this craziness with your family, all this right now is actually temporary. And if you just focus on the end, it's not just some way to escape, you know, what you're going through, but it's a way to understand that, hey, we're going to frame this and put this in the right perspective. Why am I going to get all mad at you and cuss you out when I'm not even going to be around you anymore? We get so mad about people that's in our lives and doing all this. And it's like, man, if you knew that God was preparing you to go to a place where you're literally not even going to see them anymore, why are you spending all your good years being mad? Now you got all these health issues that we talked about last week. You got all these health issues that didn't need to happen. And now you sick later on because right now you spent all your time stressing out on people. Why you do that? If you just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, I'm not saying you're going to avoid all your diseases, but I'm saying you're going to avoid unnecessary ones. I'm not saying that you won't have problems, but you will avoid unnecessary problems. Because some of these problems, we just bring on ourselves. You know, we talk about the devil. The devil did this. The devil does a lot, but the devil don't do all the things. Sometimes the devil, all he do is just watch. You're your own worst devil sometimes. Don't be consumed. Don't be consumed with what's around you. Keep moving. Timothy says, verse 17, and I'm gonna end here. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant. Okay, talking to rich folks now. Don't be arrogant. Don't set your hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share. Talking to rich people. Storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Not all of us are rich, but there's some of us that got a little money. A little money. And we may not be rich in Southern California, but we show rich in some other areas of the world. We just had smartphone training today. You rich? You got a smartphone and a plan? You richer than a lot of people. Oh, you got some nice clothes on today. You richer than a lot of people. Wait, you drove yourself here? You richer than a lot of people. All y'all live in Southern California. Y'all richer than a whole lot of people. Hello? With what we have, be rich in good works, because prosperity preaching is always focusing on getting, but preaching on prosperity is focusing on using, okay? The Bible, see, there's a thing called a poverty gospel too. And that's when people basically want you to hate rich people because, you know, rich people just the devil and they just cause all the problems. You know, being poor, being in poverty is good. That's what another type of false teaching is. No, okay? That's not the truth. God can use wealthy people. Y'all ever heard of Abraham? He was rich. Isaac, rich. Jacob, rich. Joseph, rich. Moses, rich. Keep going down the list. King David, rich. Solomon, very, very ultra rich. And we have some of the Bible that was written by them. God uses rich people. Okay, so let's clear that up, okay? Let's clear that up. It's not about how much money that you have that means if you're close to God or not. God does not care about your money, y'all. But what you do with it does matter. And so there are some people that can give millions of dollars. And if that's you, I would love to talk to you after the service. Okay? But there are some of us, hey, like, I only have a few dollars. But I saw somebody that was hungry, so I'm going to go buy them some soup. Don't you think God would use that? God gives us blessings. Yes, for our own enjoyment. Yes, you take a cruise. Okay, go on a cruise. It's fine. Okay, go, you know, go have fun. Go to the hotel. You're fine. But if that's all you're doing and you're not using it for his kingdom, then what you doing? You're wasting your blessings. God wants you to enjoy them too, but God also wants to bless his people. I'm saving this for the next sermon, but don't you think that's why God has people with money in church? Because there are people without money in church. How are we going to do this whole church thing if we have no money? Well, you need people to give money. Huh? Rich people. Does that make sense? Focuses on the prosperity preaching focuses on getting. But preaching on prosperity, which the Bible does talk about, focuses on using. So yes, invest the money. You know, cast the bread upon the waters. You know, that proverb. Invest that. Save money. And do it for God's kingdom. Do it so you can set people up to worship God and to glorify God in their own ways. Yeah, do it. Help your family out so that they don't struggle, but help them to know that the reason you're doing this is because God has so much in store for them, and the reason God has blessed you with this money is so that you can have things set up so that you can do more for God. Say that. Go with that. End the sermon. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Because anything else is a fake thing. Anything else that takes you away from glorifying God, from focusing on Jesus Christ, is a fake thing. Anything that takes it away is a fake thing. Sometimes people focus on little things like pronunciations of words and whatnot. Look, the main thing is, are people growing in Christ? Are you communicating what the passage says, what the Bible says, what God is saying? Are you communicating the entire meaning, or are you just focusing on a word that you're already misspelling or mispronouncing? Keep the main thing, and anything else is a fake thing.